weeks, three Fridays, so don't miss them. All right? We'll pick it back up in July. We'll go for about 3 or 4 months on the tabernacle. I think that'll be very helpful to you. Good. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Brother Kenny, if you'd start us with a word of prayer, please. Amen. Yeah, Nate's taking the young people out to hand out tracts tonight. So, I think they were going to go down to the Tanger Outlet and just catch people sitting out on the benches and stuff there. Hit them with some tracts. Oh, they're setting up for that? You must have told them and they heard about it. Yeah. Right. Good. Good, good, good. All right, we're going to pick it up here and starting on lesson 19, the seven judgments, the second half, which we did the first five, the judgment upon sin at the cross, the judgment upon the believers and in hell, unbelievers in hell, the judgment of the believers, Christians, the temporal judgment of this life, the judgment of believers at the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment upon Israel, and the tribulation, and now we're going to look at the judgment of the world. The judgment of the world, if you'll please open your Bibles to the book of Jude, right before Revelation, the book of Jude. Oh, it was my fault. Yeah. Look there in verse 14 of Jude, chapter 1, since there's only one chapter. Verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Now, I like that. Enoch is a picture of the rapture of the church. He just happens to be the seventh from Adam. So in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you have seven churches followed by someone being called up hither. In chapter 4 of Revelation, John is told by the Lord Jesus Christ, come up hither. There's a door open in heaven, and he is transported up after the seventh church. And so us being in that Laodicean church age, I don't actually appreciate being in the Laodicean church age, other than the fact that at least we have that promise that the Lord could come and take us home at any time, and thank God for that. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. He's a preacher. He walked with God. He prophesied about some things to come, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. I think that's us. That's us. We're coming back with the Lord. Amen. How did Enoch know that? Isn't it amazing that Enoch, because he walked with God, he knew that before the flood? And you got preachers walking around today that have 66 books of the Bible, and they can't figure it out? The problem there somewhere. Enoch knew it. He knew the Lord was coming with 10,000s of his saints. That means he believed in a pre-tribulation rapture and a post-tribulation advent with the saints to the earth. You see? Otherwise, how did the saints get up there if they're going to come back with them? They already got glorified bodies coming back with them, see? Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Amen. There's going to be a judgment. Who's going to be judged? The ungodly. Who's the ungodly? All those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Left here through the tribulation, and when the Lord comes back with us, there's going to be a judgment. He's going to devour many that are alive at his second advent and burn them up with fire that comes out of his mouth. He's going to raise the dead, and there will be a judgment at that time of all those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ for the last 2,000 years. Now, that doesn't fit a lot of the Bible charts that people have laid out. I understand that. But what you have to do sometimes is just read your Bible and say, God, teach me the Bible. Instead of going into the Bible with a prejudicial heart or a prejudicial attitude, I read the chart, now therefore let me make the Bible fit the chart. Instead of, well, I've read some charts and they've helped me some, but let me make sure that the Bible is always my final authority for everything that I believe. And so the judgment of the world, what we call the end of the world, and there's a difference between the end of the world and the end of the earth. About 1,000 year difference. Okay, the end of the world system occurs when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent. Look in Matthew 24. I'll show you that real quick. Matthew chapter 24. And verse 3. Look in Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? When Jesus Christ comes back at his second coming, the second advent, at that time, the world system ends. It is no longer going to be run the way it is at all. Say, who's going to run it? Jesus Christ and you and I, if we're faithful. If we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him, the Bible says. And that's what's going to happen at the end of the world. And when that happens, the world will be judged. Amen? The entire world. Everyone up until that time period, with the exception of those that are destroyed at the second advent. Say, why? Because they won't have been buried yet. You can't be risen if you haven't been buried. So their resurrection is going to be after the end of the millennial reign of Christ when He reigns on the earth for 1,000 years. And we've read in Jude 1, 14 and 15 that we're going to come back with the Lord and judge with Him. Look with me now in John chapter 12. Verse 47, John chapter 12 and verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Okay, what coming is that? First coming. At the first coming of Jesus Christ, His purpose was not to destroy the world. His purpose was not to bring an end to the world. The purpose of His first coming was to save the world. What about all those that have rejected that salvation? Verse 48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him when? In the last day. And that reference is when the Lord comes back at the second advent. Okay, look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's strange, you can show this to Bible believers and they get concerned. It's like you're trying to teach some weird doctrine or something. Well, hey, listen, I understand it goes against the chart. But if you're a Bible believer, you shouldn't have a problem with this, because all we're going to do is give Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 4, 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge, help me out, the quick and the dead at His appearing in kingdom. Who is going to be judged when Jesus Christ comes back to reign? The living and the dead. Not at the end of the earth, but at the end of the world. See? When the Lord comes back to reign. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And you think after He comes back to reign, He's going to wait 1,000 years to get that glory? Why would He do that when He has the power to raise those people up? See? Look back there in John, the Gospel of John. Chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. What's going to be the greater works? For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. You got that? All judgment has been committed to Jesus Christ. In reference to what? A resurrection, verse 20 and 21. Raising of the dead, see? Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what's going to happen there. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So he's not talking about us. See? Our quickening has already happened. Our resurrection has already taken place and will be completed, as it were, at the rapture of the church. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, did you hear it? Did you get saved? You heard the voice of the Son of God? He quickened you? You were dead, and now you're alive? You have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, right? So He says, now is. It's a present thing, but it's also a future thing, shall be. See? Did you see that? Look at verse 25 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is. See? Twofold. So one reference is to us being resurrected, and there's another reference when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And hath given Him authority to execute judgment also. Why? Because He is the Son of God? No. Because He is the Son of Man. Earthly, visible, physical ruler, ruling and reigning over an earthly, visible, physical earth. Bringing judgment. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves. Now, you know what that means in the Greek? All that are in the graves shall hear His voice. What does that mean? After the Lord comes back, everybody's coming up. Say, well, I think that's after the millennium, and then they'll hear his voice and come up out of the graves. Hey, how could they come up out of the graves after the millennium? There's no earth to come up out of. There's no resurrection. Everybody just stands before God. How can you be raised from nothing? Because the entire physical elements are dissolved. It's just going to be the souls of those that have rejected the Lord and the souls of them that are saved standing before God for a final judgment. That has nothing to do with sinners that reject Christ today, because they're judged by their works then, not by whether or not they believed on Christ. How is someone condemned in the day and age that you and I live in? This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They will be one day anyway, you see. Judgment's coming. All those people that swore they were good, wonderful, kind, nice, sweet people, you're going to find out what they were really like when they're raised in answer to Jesus Christ for rejecting him as their Savior. We okay? That's what he's talking about, see? Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now, how about when he comes back, all those that are still laying around on the earth for 7 months before they're buried? They're not in the graves yet. So it's not those that have been destroyed at the second advent, it's those that have died prior to that, going all the way back to Noah's day. Verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. There it is. Judgment and resurrection connected. When's that going to happen? It's going to happen after Jesus Christ returns to the earth. Look with me in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, first of all, and then we'll look in Daniel 7. And see if this matches what we just read. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, Israel. See? That's Michael the archangel standing for the children of Israel. When's that going to happen? Tribulation. That's why you hear his voice at the rapture. That's Michael coming back on the scenes. See? And there shall be a time of trouble, tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now you see that thing? At that resurrection, there's a dividing. See? When Jesus Christ gives the parables in the book of Matthew, he talks about that, where all of a sudden the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that cast a net into the sea, and he brought up all the fishes, and then he divided the good from the bad. See? He's gonna take the hay into his garner, and then he's going to devour the chaff with unquenchable fire. There's a separation. There's the goats and there's the sheep. You see, all that, every time the Lord talks about that, it's a reference to his second advent. There's a dividing, a judgment. Those that have done good and have done well enter into life, and all the rest are, as the Lord tells them, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And they're cast into outer darkness. That's the reference. You hear that all the time. You read through that. Whenever you see that, cast into outer darkness, that's the lake of fire. But at that time, the earth is still here. You can't see the lake of fire. It's somewhere beyond eternity. I don't understand that, but that's where it is. And at the end of that thing, wherever that thing is, that black hole or whatever you want to call it, see, it's nothing but a lake of fire. But for now, you would call it outer darkness. The Bible also calls it a furnace of fire. See? The Bible says there'll be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And there'll be a lot of them running around on the earth during the millennium, shining or flying in. Here comes the governor. Hey, governor. Who's that? That's somebody ruling and reigning with Christ on the earth. That's Bible. That's not science fiction. That's really this is what's going to happen. This thing is all about. So you got that. It's not just about floating around in a cloud with a harp. See? There's a whole lot more to it than that. This is reality. This is, you know, this is what the whole thing's about here. Look back in Daniel chapter 7. And he's been giving a revelation concerning the Gentile kingdoms, ending with the Antichrist kingdom in verse 8. And look in verse 9. It says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. There you go. When he comes back at the second advent, the Bible says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And he comes back. There's a sword, a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And it's just the Lord, the power of his word. He's just speaking and just burning them up. The Bible says their eyes will dissolve in the sockets, their tongues will dissolve in their mouths. They'll basically burn up like a microwave from the inside out and explode, and you'll have the whole Valley of Armageddon filled with blood up to the horse's bridle. See? Yes. What is the wheels? All right, if you'll compare that with Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10, it'll give you a hint. It has to do with them cherubim. And you'll read it a few other times there in Ezekiel, when the Lord shows up and those wheels connected with those cherubim. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. So you have those that are with the Lord ministering before him, and those that are being judged by the Lord. Well, we know those who are with the Lord, it's us and the tribulation saints, and everybody else is those that have rejected the Lord. The judgment was set and the books were opened. The judgment was set. When? At the end of the millennium? You really think that's what that's talking about? The Lord doesn't come back in a fiery stream at the end of the millennium. He comes back at the end of the tribulation. He just told you when the judgment is. Get off your chart. Get in the Bible. Verse 11, I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, Antichrist. I beheld even till the beast was slain, Antichrist, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season at a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. No doubt about it, the Ancient of Days, whose garment is white as snow, whose head is like pure wool. You compare that with Revelation chapter 1, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The Ancient of Days is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is the Ancient of Days. He is Alpha and Omega. They brought him near before him. And there was given him, the Son of Man, dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Who's the his? The Son of Man, which shall not pass away. In his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Whose kingdom? The Son of Man. Well, I thought it was the Ancient of Days kingdom. Then who is the Son of Man? No, it isn't. Look at it again. Verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. Yeah, amen. Who's going to be like the Son of Man? The Bible says we will be like Him. But you don't need to privately interpret that. The Bible will interpret itself for you. Look at verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, reference the Antichrist, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit. They shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. Antichrist's dominion. The God of this world finally put away. A new world kingdom established under the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to who? The people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. See? Well, who is that? Verse 14 says that dominion in the kingdom is given to the Son of Man. You see, you compare Scripture with Scripture. The Son of Man and the saints are the same. They're both the ones that are given the kingdom. Who's going to be like the Son of Man? We are. Amen. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Yeah, that's right. We're going to have the mind of Christ. The Bible says we have it now. The problem is there's something getting in the way of it. It's flesh, and that'll be out of the way. Yeah, and we'll judge righteous judgment with Him. Wouldn't it be something if everybody that persecuted you, everybody that you witnessed to that rejected Christ, had to come and stand before you one day? See, they don't understand who you are. You know who you are? You're a son of God. Who are they? A son of what? Tom? You know, a son of Edith? I'm a son of God. And they're going to find out one day who's in charge. Now we're just lambs. See? Now we're just lambs. We're led as sheep to the slaughter, right? But one day, when Jesus comes back, He ain't coming back as a lamb next time. He's coming back as a lion, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we're coming back as lions with Him to rule and reign if we have earned that opportunity. Y'all with me? Revelation chapter 11. Now see, once you get this stuff, you realize, you know, the Bible really does make sense. And it all just starts to fall into place the way it's supposed to. When you rightly divide the Scriptures, you don't have to spiritualize it and make believe it's saying something that it doesn't say. And just believe it for exactly what it says. Revelation chapter 11. And here's the sounding of the trumpets. Of course, taking place during the tribulation, and at the end of the tribulation, the final trumpet sounds, verse 15 of Revelation 11. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever, and forever. And the whole hallelujah, of course, be going on. All right, verse 16. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats, who's that? That's the church. You can compare that with Revelation 4 and 5. You'll find out that the 24 elders are a representation of the church. I don't know if it starts with 24 and goes out from there with each of them with 24 all the way out. I'm not sure how that thing will work. But you basically got the top 24 going out to each 24, going out to 24 like that, going out. And somewhere within that conglomerate, there you will be. either closer to the throne or further away, depending on your standing according to the judgment seat of Christ. All right, verse 16. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come." This cup is poured out. "And," help me out, "the time of the dead, that they should be judged." You got it? Not at the end of the millennium. At the second advent of Jesus Christ. "And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy the environmentalists, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Amen. What's the sound? I don't know anything about that stuff. I don't follow it enough, but I heard something on talk radio station or something about some female singer that was saying that you're only supposed to use one piece of toilet paper or something to save the trees. Well, how about this? How many trees did she plant last week? She's worried about the trees? She can go plant trees. If every environmentalist planted one tree a week, if you've got 1 million environmentalists in this country, that's 15 million trees a year. They can solve their own problem that they're so worried about. You understand? It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with them controlling you. That's just, the world's just so messed up. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, she's getting some open doors. She's serving her master well. You know, and you worship the devil. He told you he'd give you, you know, part of this world. Oh, really? Yeah, right. Now, you can make it, depending on if it's 2-ply or 4-ply, I guess. Well, I guess, you know, now they're going to be in our bathrooms checking up on us or something, I don't know. It's just sick. Just sick. You know what the funny thing about that is? You know what her guitar is made out of?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's just sad. This country has lost its mind. As the Bible says, the nations are mad. Going crazy. God's doing it to them. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Look in Revelation. We already looked there. That's where we're at. Okay, look at Acts chapter 17. Let's try that one. Acts chapter 17. Paul's message on Mars Hills to the Athenians. Look in verse 28. "For in him we live, move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Why? "Because he hath appointed a day," was that? That's the last day. "He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." The assurance to everybody is an empty tomb. And there's no excuse for anybody to reject Jesus Christ as Savior. And those that do will stand before Him and be judged one day. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to every single one of them having to bow before Jesus Christ and worship Him before they're tormented for all eternity for rejecting the love of God found only in Jesus Christ. All the enemies of the gospel, all those that are trying to destroy this country by destroying its history, and the ACLU, and every single one of them are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. What a glorious day. What a glorious day it'll be. Amen. All right, look in Romans chapter 2 with me. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Listen, what I'm giving you is part of the gospel. You understand what I just told you? The last verse was about the assurance that He's risen from the dead. And because of that, He is now appointed to be the judge of all those that reject Him. That is also part of the gospel. See? That's the part that's left out. Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose again. He's coming back to judge all those that reject Him. Don't forget that part of it. Amen. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Imagine sinners like us, saved by God's grace, now having the opportunity to earn a spot, as it were, to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity. You understand? See, in all of eternity, God's got this thing worked out. There's not going to be any politics. You understand? There's not going to be any dictators trying to take over. They won't have war. So who's going to run and rule everything? That's what's being determined now. The Bible says, the increase of His government, there shall be no end. Amen. And as man goes out and populates for all of eternity and eternity, those ruling and reigning over them will be the Christians and the tribulation saints who have earned that spot, who have earned that right. And no one will be able to look at any of them and say, well, why do you get the reign? It'll be known. It'll be known why. You think they're going to look at John Huss and say, why do you... No, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen, see. 1 Corinthians chapter, what did I say, chapter 3, right? Or chapter 6. Chapter 6. Notice verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Well, yeah, there's a lot of Christians that would dare to do that these days. But it's not Bible. How's that stuff supposed to be taken care of? In the church. But who wants to humble themselves under church authority when they could humble themselves under a judge in the world's authority? You know what the problem is? Most Christians, to be honest with you, Romans chapter 12, what does it say? Anybody know Romans 12, 1 and 2? I beseech you by the mercies of God, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know, most Christians have never been transformed. They're still conformed to this world instead of being transformed to think the way the Bible thinks, to operate according to the Scripture. They're still operating and doing things the way that the world does them. See? You ever hear of Christians going and getting a divorce? Did they bring it before the church? Well, what did the Bible say? You see, the Bible's no big deal. So what's the problem? They haven't been transformed. They're still conformed. Verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Well, you're supposed to know it. That's the question he's asking. Don't you realize that part of what we've got now as Christians is the opportunity to one day judge this world? See? Did you know that? You're supposed to. See? Verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Well, that kind of goes against judge not, lest you be judged, though, doesn't it? And so, since nobody knows their Bible anymore, they have to throw out all the other verses because they found one verse that they think they might be disobeying. You see how the devil just has a field day with most Christians because of their ignorance? It's sad. But there you have it. That's the judgment. And that judgment will take place. Now, how long was it going to take place for? How's all that going to happen? I don't understand all of that. I have some theories. I have a guess if you want to look in Daniel, but it's just a guess. Daniel chapter 12. Sure. The fallen angels. Yes, sir. Because they're cast down to the earth with Satan during the tribulation. Right. By Michael. And then, yeah. And then, yeah, they come before us and we judge them. Look in verse 9 of Daniel 12. Daniel 12:9. And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end." You know what's happened in Revelation chapter 6? A book's being unsealed. It's sealed with seven seals. And it's being unsealed. See? Revelation and Daniel go together. Verse 10. "Many shall be purified." Oh, that the time of the end. "And made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. There you go. "Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days." So from when Jesus comes back, there's a blessing given 45 days later to somebody. You notice the difference between verse 11 and verse 12? It's 45 days. In the one place it's 1,290, in the other place it's 1,335. A 45-day difference. See, what's going on during those 45 days? My theory is that's the judgment of this world taking place. Just a theory. Can't prove that. Not going to try to. Not going to break fellowship with someone that wants to disagree with me. I'm just saying that there is a period of 45 days there that takes place where something's going on and there's a blessing to them that come through it. Amen? So, possibility there. All right, so that's the seventh judgment, or sixth judgment. The seventh, the last one, is the great white throne of judgment, or the final judgment. Look with me, please, in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 1. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. You know how long the millennium is? 1,000 years. "Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season." So there's going to be one more final judgment at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them." Who could that be? Who's judging the world? Who's judging the angels? Who's going to be seated on thrones as the Son of Man with the Ancient of Days? "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, in which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads and on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Another group. Who's that? Tribulation saints. See? Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So that rest of the dead, you see, they take that one little thing right there and they say, well, see, everybody else isn't judged until the end of the millennium. No. The rest of the dead is what? What did Jesus Christ talk about in John chapter 5? All that are in the graves. Do you realize that on the earth, after Jesus Christ returns and burns all those people up, that people are going to be employed going about with markers, marking skeletons of dead bodies that He's destroyed? You say, why just skeletons? Well, if you read your Bible, you know that the Lord calls all the beasts and all the fowls of the air to a great feast. All their flesh is eaten, and all that's left is bones. They are then employed for a period of time to mark the bones, and then there's other people that are employed to go around and find the markers, and when they see a marker, they go to it and they bury the bones. Those are not risen again until the end of the millennial reign of Christ, the rest of the dead. See? Look over there. Hold your place there. I'll show you that. Look in Ezekiel. Am I getting too deep on you? I don't mean to confuse you. Just trying to help you here. Look in Ezekiel. It's either 38 or 39. Of course, this is what they all try to make as some World War III that takes place before the tribulation, which is nonsense. Most of your prophecy teachers, they love trying to show that this is some kind of war that's going to take place, you know, that we're looking for happening any time now. No, this is taking place right before Jesus Christ returns to the earth. And I'll prove it to you. Ezekiel 38 is Gog, Magog, the chief prince of Meshech, Tubal, and they're all coming down and having war. Verse 13, Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish. Gog, verse 14. Verse 18, it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. Well, you see, that's when they see His face. That's when He returns. For in my jealousy and the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. The Bible says it's a great earthquake like none other. When does that happen? At the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? So that the fishes of the sea, the fowls of heaven, the beasts of the field, and creeping things creep upon the earth, and all men that are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. You see that? That's the second advent of Jesus Christ. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with my pestilence, with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon many people that are with him, and an overflowing rain and a great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. And I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That ain't going to happen before the tribulation. They're turning to the Antichrist at the tribulation. They ain't turning to the Lord. They're going to do that at the end of the tribulation. And so he goes on to prophesy about it. Verse 4 of chapter 39. And thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee, and I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. And thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. You see that thing? That's the purpose of all that. They're going to know. There's not going to be any more faith about it then. Verse 9. They that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and set on fire and burn the weapons. What did he say he was going to do? He beat their swords into plowshares and their spears and the pruning hook. Nation shall not lift up against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Verse 9, they shall dwell in the cities of Israel, shall go forth and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. That's a lot of energy. So what are they doing? They're burning all the weapons of war for the first 7 years of the millennium. Getting all your energy right there to take care of anything you need to. And getting rid of all the weapons of war at the same time. You understand? God's got the whole thing worked out. You don't need the United Nations. You don't need the Peace Corps. You need Jesus Christ to come back, the Prince of Peace. Yeah. Hey, you know, what did Jesus say? There'll be war and rumor of war. You can have all the ambassadors you want and all the peace talks you want, and you're not going to do anything. Verse 10, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forests. So there's not going to be any trees cut down for 7 years after the Lord comes back. The Lord's an environmentalist. He cares about the environment. He's going to bless it. He's going to do it the right way. For they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. And it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there they shall bury Gog and all his multitude. And there shall call it the valley of Hamagog. Now watch this. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Say, how many dead bodies is that? Verse 13. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers, those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search, and the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamagog. You just thought I was talking. You see that? Now, you think the Gog and Magog, you think that thing right there, Ezekiel 38 and 39, is talking about a war that happens before the tribulation? I'm trying to help you out, save you some money from going to prophecy conferences. Yeah, just believe your Bible instead. I guess I should start prophecy conferences and make a living doing that. Why are those guys doing it? God hasn't called them to pastor yet? Be part of a church and... You understand what's going on? It's Laodicea, man. And a bunch of people run around getting their ears tickled. And yeah, they're learning a little truth and praise the Lord for it. But that's what a church is for, I thought. Well, we've got all these experts running around for. See? What is all that? All right. Anyway, back in Revelation chapter 20. And so at the end of the millennial reign, the nations are deceived one more time. Look in verse 10 of Revelation 20. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. What did Jesus Christ say they'd be judged by? The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge them. Amen. That's the same for at the end of the tribulation. It's the same at the end of the millennium. They're always judged by the Word of God. God's given them a standard. It wouldn't be fair to be judged and not have the rule book. See? And the books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea, now watch it, you got a place for the saved and a place for the unsaved. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, that's the saved, during the millennium. There are going to be people dying during the millennium, you understand that? People will still die during the millennium. They live longer, but they still die. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the seventh and final judgment. When somebody's cast in the lake of fire, after this there is no more judgment. Why? It's going to be a perfect paradise. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more devil. There'll be no need for judgment. Thank God. But until then, there's a need for judgment. See? And there's going to be a judgment that takes place. Who's going to be judged? Verse 8 of chapter 21. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I said saved and unsaved. See that in verse 13 of chapter 20? The sea gave up the dead which were in it. And I teach and believe that you've got two places during the millennial reign of Christ where the dead go. There is no faith in the millennium. Everything's seen. Now it's all faith. We believe somebody without Jesus Christ goes where? All right, show me hell. We got to take it by faith. We believe that those that are in Christ, when they die, they're absent from the body and present with the Lord. They're in heaven with the Lord right now, right? All right, show it to me. It's all a faith. None of it is seen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. Not seen, see? And in the millennium, there is no faith. There is no faith, see? You could either believe or not believe what the Lord tells you. Someone could believe or not believe what we tell them to do as we're ruling and reigning over them. They could be deceived by the devil when he comes to deceive the nations at the end of the millennium. Right? But they're not going to be able to see that they say that they didn't know, because they can see it. And every person that is cursed and rejected of Jesus Christ during the millennium, that's judged for doing wrong, will be cast into a lake of fire that can be seen on the earth. And the Bible says people will walk by and look on their carcasses. Look in Isaiah 66. You don't look like you believe me. I better prove it to you. This is where Israel is again the head of the nations, ruling and reigning. It's the millennial reign of Christ. Look at verse 23, last two verses of Isaiah 66. The 66th book of Isaiah matches the 66th book of your Bible. How many books are in the Bible? How many chapters in Isaiah? You got it. The 40th book in the Bible is what? Matthew. Very good. Yep. So in Isaiah 40, what do you have? The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the highway. See? Right there. There's a natural break in Isaiah after chapter 39. Anything? Verse 23, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. The Bible says it's in the land of Idumea. It'll be pitch. It'll be burning pitch. Where is it? It's the Dead Sea. That's where it is. It's the Dead Sea. You go up north from the Dead Sea. You know what you got? You go up the Jordan River all the way. And at the end of that thing is the Sea of Galilee. Say, what's the Sea of Galilee? That's where Jesus walked on the water. That's where Peter walked on the water. What are they doing walking on the water there? Well, I know this much. When the rich man asks Lazarus to help him, he asks Lazarus if he would dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. Wherever Lazarus is in paradise, there's water. I know this much. When you find the saints up before the throne in heaven with God in Revelation 4 and 5, it's said to be on a sea of glass, frozen water. Wherever paradise is, there's water. And you're going to see those that have transgressed in a lake of fire, and see those that are saved where? On the sea. On the sea. And so, at the final judgment, where do they come out of? They're not coming out of graves. They're coming out of the sea, or they're coming out of death and hell. See? It's not a resurrection. It's just souls coming appearing before the Lord. And look there again in chapter 20 and verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. See that? What happens to death and hell? Verse 14. Those are the lost. Where do they go? Lake of fire. Amen. And so obviously those that are written in the book of life are those that are in the sea. Now if you look in chapter 21 and verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, no more place for the dead to have to go to. Why? Because there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain forever and ever. Thank God. Amen. Until then, there's judgment. There's judgment. We're to judge each ourselves. Amen. Judge ourselves daily. Amen. When you do wrong, confess it. Repent. Judge yourself so you won't have to be judged. Prepare for the judgment seat of Christ. Warn those that have rejected Christ that they need to get saved or they will be judged. That's the gospel. And if they reject Him, the Lord will come back and the judge of all, the great judge, will that day render His judgments upon this world. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and take a break there. And Brother Henry, if you'd ask the Lord to bless the food and the fellowship, please.
Dear Heavenly Father,